everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I also want to send love and health to all my listeners out there. Now, I have another great program for you today. Right now, the COVID-19 outbreak is definitely affecting the ability for singles to find love and relationships in today's world. So today's program is all about dating in the time of COVID-19. My guest today is Lisa Clampett. She is the founder and president of the Matchmaking Institute, as well as Lisa Clampett Matchmaking. She has been a successful professional matchmaker and relationship expert for over 20 years and has a master's in social work from the University of Michigan. She is consistently sought after as a relationship expert with extensive national and international press coverage. She is also, listeners, the author of 2 books on matchmaking. And listeners, I want you to know, honestly, that I've been working with Lisa and the Matchmaking Institute for about 3.5 years. And Lisa is the real thing. She is smart, hardworking, intuitive, and highly knowledgeable about all things relationships, love, and dating. So for more information about Lisa or her matchmaking company, go to lisaclampett.com or matchmakinginstitute.com. So welcome to the program, Lisa. It is wonderful to have you with us today.
Oh, thank you so much, Terry. What a kind introduction. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Well, I have so enjoyed working with you and the Matchmaking Institute and all the matchmakers and date coaches that are involved in the Institute as well. Now, in the introduction, I said that you got your MSW at the University of Michigan. How did you decide to go from social work to matchmaking? What's your story, Lisa?
Wow, that's a good question. I've always been obsessed with like saving people and helping people. And so I didn't know any other career other than social work. And so I thought that that was a natural connection for me. And so I went and I got my master's, and I spent years working in social work, and particularly in the medical industry. But it was not really the essence of what brought me joy. And for my entire life, I was obsessed with helping people find love. And part of it sort of stemmed from, you know, my realization that like, if someone was single and they were lonely and they didn't want to be single, that brought me such pain. And I felt like it was my duty to help people find partners. And so ever since I could remember, I would be introducing all my friends to people, and a lot of like them got married and had kids, etc. So then after kind of several years of doing social work, I felt really burned out and discouraged. And I was thinking, what can I do with my life that would be a different career? And I read in the late 90s something about matchmaking, and I could not believe that that was a career. So I immediately insisted on this company hiring me as their relationship expert, and soon went into becoming a professional matchmaker in 2000, and have been doing it ever since. So it was a natural transition.
Yes, it's a natural progression. I love it because, well, first of all, thank you for sharing that story. But I also love it because relationships are so important to health and well-being. And if people aren't happy in their relationships, or they don't have that someone special, you want to help them. Absolutely. Now, for listeners, Lisa, who aren't totally knowledgeable or convinced, let's say, that matchmaking is a very successful way to find love, what would you say to them?
Well, the amazing thing about matchmaking is almost like having a best friend that doesn't have a personal agenda, having access to some of the most fabulous people you could ever match them with. And the interesting thing is that I think that we could all use a relationship expert to help us find love, because what our patterns are and what we're attracted to is not necessarily what is good for long-term compatibility. And it's more focused on short-term chemistry. So what a matchmaker and a relationship expert does is it really helps you to make better choices and to be able to find people that fit your relationship goals, your values, and then ultimately chemistry, but not chemistry first, where we're continually making the same mistakes over and over again and sort of sabotaging our success for a long-term healthy relationship. So, and the best of a scenario, it would be having someone really handhold you and guide you, making better decisions, and then weeding thousands of possibilities down to the top few choices of best compatible matches. And that if there is chemistry, then you're set up for success. So it's really one of the most fabulous resources that if all of us could utilize, I think that the divorce rate would be a lot lower.
I like that. And what I hear you saying, Lisa, is that as a single person, I'm not giving you, matchmaker, total control. I'm just allowing you to help me along the path, pick better, weed out lots and lots of people, and then give me choices so that I can choose after that. Is that correct?
That's a great summary. And we call it in my company, you know, Lisa Climate Matchmaking really creates like a team approach so that we're together going down this path. And so what we ask is that someone really be clear that they're ready for a relationship and to really help assess any sort of obstacles that might be there that maybe the potential client is unaware of, so that we could together look at the obstacles, decide whether it's a red flag, can these obstacles be overcome strategically working through this together, and can we make good choices together and get feedback and understand what works, what doesn't work, what type of introductions are productive, and really through communication and feedback and coaching, we're going through this process and learning together. So I think that that is an incredibly important element. And I think a lot of times people will look at like exactly what you were saying, that the idea of like, I'm going to hand over all my power and have nothing to say about the process. And that's not true. I think if you're choosing someone, it's more of someone that's going to guide you and help coach you to make good decisions together.
I like that. A team approach and not giving total control to the matchmaker, but we're guiding through the process together. Absolutely. And also I liked it because when singles go out there and they have a date and they come home and they're thinking about all of these things and that other person, is it a red flag? Is it a challenge? What should I do? Am I picking or wanting this person only based on chemistry? Or is this a valid red flag? I can go to you as a matchmaker or your team, as you said, Lisa, and process and discuss and have somebody to guide me through the process. Now, you've been, as you said, a successful matchmaker since the late 90s or in 2000. You created Lisa Clampett Matchmaking. How is matchmaking going now in the time of the coronavirus? What's happening?
Well, that's a really great question, because I think that the first couple of weeks, you know, the love industry professionals were just as shocked as everybody was in terms of like, what does this mean? And I think that like my job, not only being a matchmaker and having my own company, but being in a sense a leader for resources for matchmakers and coaches around the world, I needed to quickly get out of my way of my own sort of, what does this mean? Like, you know, the meaning of life stuff that happens in sort of a global pandemic. And so I needed to really quickly become a resource for people. And really what we needed to do is get the matchmakers and coaches to rebound quickly themselves, because now more than ever, singles and even new couples need us to guide and support and help with this kind of incredibly scary, painful isolation that people are going through. And it's only going to get more challenging. And so we've been thinking of very creative ways to check in and re-engage clients and singles in general to participate in not only like all of us are checking in, we're texting, we're Zooming, and we're having phone calls to make sure people are okay, but then we're also setting up virtual dates. I know this sounds really different, but
Tell us more about those virtual dates, because as you said, and as I talk to singles, they are feeling, and people in new relationships, lonely, bored, they're feeling isolated and fearful. And so I'm not able to meet people for relationships anymore face to face. So what are virtual dates? What's happening in that realm?
Yeah, so originally there's going to be resistance across the board. I mean, I would say 9 out of 10 people are, you know, like either what is that or no way. And so I'd say as a matchmaker, it's our job to create a comfort level of this idea. So the idea is that you pick two people that would be a good match, just as you would normally, and you would coordinate a date as you would normally, but it would be on Zoom or some video service that would say, you have a date with Jennifer at 7 p.m. tonight. So what we do to sort of work through the process of having people say yes to this as a possibility is we set up a mock date. Actually, our company sets up a mock date with our client or with the match. And we actually will do a trial Zoom call, let's say, and we'll actually coordinate like, hey, what seat and what lighting looks the best? How can we sort of start asking questions to sort of make this process more comfortable? What should you wear? And people start feeling like, wow, it takes away the resistance once you're starting to do that. And it's been working quite well. So what happens is we'll present and we'll say, hey, do you want to meet Jennifer? Do you want to meet John? Great. Okay. We set up the date. Then they do the Zoom call and then we get the feedback. So people have been very creative with this. Some matchmakers will send, you know, takeout food to each of the people. One of our guys actually sent ahead of time before the date a champagne and a box of chocolates that she could have during the call.
Oh, I love that. That's probably even better than a first date face-to-face.
Exactly. And so, you know, setting it up with like parameters, and then we sent a list of questions that we have them ask, and some fun stuff like,
yeah, can you share some of those? Do you have any like a few that listeners might borrow as well?
Yeah, so there are a couple of cool, there's something like 37, 38 that we took from a couple things. One that you recommended, Terry, which is the 36 questions. We took Proust questions. We took our own questions. So something like, what's something that you'd like to try, but that you're too scared to try, which is kind of like a fun, vulnerable question.
Right.
Another one, of all your friends, if they were asked to describe you, which friend's description would be the most accurate and why? What's your favorite book or movie as a child and why did you like it so much? What are three qualities you admire about yourself? I mean, there's also...
I love those. Those are so good, as you know, right? And it's Art Aaron's 36 questions. It was in the New York Times to promote intimacy and bonding. So you're suggesting then, Lisa, these questions, even if it's on a virtual date and you're not face-to-face, can build intimacy, build bonding, even though you're on a Zoom call or a Skype call or a FaceTime call, right?
Absolutely. So what's happening is that people are having to really get to know each other and without distractions of an environment, without distractions of having to run off and, you know, go on your next date. And it's really sort of meant to let's get to know someone. Let's kind of ask questions that we normally don't have that downtime to ask and really focus on. And people are really, really motivated. So that's worked really well. We've had people, one couple, I think they're on their like fifth virtual date. and they've been going out every night. And so I think that like people are really eager. We've also done some happy hour cocktail parties, which have been fun. So
you sort of, and what's that like? Is that with more than two people?
Yeah. So you pick maybe, you know, four guys and four gals, and you create a conversation to start people feeling like more interconnected. And so it's just creating more community. There is also now speed dating apps coming up that people are partnering with so that they could utilize that platform for their people, for their clients. And I would say that it is an adjustment for people to be more open. And the longer this goes on, I think that the more people will be reaching out to want to try something that makes them feel less isolated.
I like that. And think about it, listeners. I mean, you're all alone. You're in your apartment. We don't know how long this is going to last. So reach out, given all of these suggestions to others, other singles, start relationships. And Lisa, I've heard also some of my clients using Netflix game where they watch a show together and they comment on the game, online exercise, yoga. Some of my clients are playing Yahtzee with people online. And so I think you're right that people are being creative. And as we understand that relationships are so vital, so important to health and well-being, especially during times that are stressful and challenging, all of these kinds of creative and new strategies for singles will be attractive and are wonderful to start new relationships.
Yeah. And I think that, like, you know, just people have to expect that this is going to be a roller coaster ride. It's going to be an emotional roller coaster ride. And some days it'll be lonely and some days will be more positive. And I just so highly encourage people to allow vulnerability of asking for help, asking for connections, asking to get on a call. Like last night, I was feeling a little blue and I had my friend, I said, I feel blue. Lou, can we hop on a Zoom call? And I was hanging out with her while she was cooking dinner. And I am reaching out to all of my clients and saying, reach out to me, especially in moments where you're feeling a little bit blue. So I think that those are really, really important moments where we reach out and we connect. And also for couples, I think that these virtual couples cocktail parties are a really good way to go beyond just your isolation. Anything that allows you to connect to the outside world and create contact for exposure that dilutes isolation, dilutes conflict of relationships, is a really positive, good thing. And so I already think our world was leading towards vulnerability and being authentic. And now more than ever, it's safe to be vulnerable and it's safe to reach out. And I so highly recommend it.
I like that. For couples, for singles and friends, for partnered people and friends, for colleagues, be vulnerable and reach out. That's a wonderful message. And can you just explain, Lisa, what you mean by vulnerability?
Vulnerability is exactly what I did last night, which is I feel lonely and I need a friend or I need to talk to somebody, as opposed to I'm going to shut down and I'm going to be angry because I don't want people to know or see me as weak. So it's taking away our defense of what we normally do to protect ourselves and allow almost our underbelly to show and say, hey, this is what I need. Can you give it to me? Can you help me out? Can you help me connect?
Mm-hmm. I like that. And a really wonderful message, listeners, to seek out help, ask for help, be vulnerable, and say to friends, family members, other couples, or matchmakers, coaches, I need help. I'm feeling this. Now, Lisa, what do you think in general? We only have a few minutes left. What will the effects be on relationships, love, and dating in general in our society, given all that's happening right now?
Well, I think that a couple things. Hopefully people will continue to reach out. I think people are grabbing on to, there are a lot of quick new relationships happening, a new couple where one of the folks they met in New York, and she actually flew down to the South and moved in with him after the first week. I think there's a lot of quick relationships happening where people are coming together and saying, like, let's make this happen. I think people are becoming to you know, more open-minded to do the virtual meeting and connect and reach out and create environments, watch parties, etc. And originally I was thinking that we were going to love this and stick with this. And now I'm starting to think that we will utilize this for connections and make the best of it. But then we will be very excited to reconnect in person shortly.
That's good. I like that. Face to face. And if there's one message that you want people to take away from today's program, what would it be?
I think that the most important thing is reach out, build community, connect with people that have your back, and you will really be able to tell really the people that you want to spend time with. Spend time with people who are kind and that are sharing a love of you and really want you to feel connected, as opposed to the negative, the naysayers, the you know, trash talking on social media. Stay away from the poison and build lovely connections of support, collaboration, community, and really be open to reaching out and consistently creating a schedule for yourself, not to isolate, and to connect with people, not only that you already know, but new people.
I like that. And just even as you said that, connect with people who are kind, respectful, stay away from the poison. My whole physical body, Lisa, it got calm, less anxious. I could feel it in my body. And I hope you did too, listeners. A wonderful message. Thank you so much for joining me today, Lisa. It's been such a pleasure. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Same to you, Terry. I love you. And thank you so much for having me on the show.
Absolutely. Ditto. Love you too, Lisa. And again, listeners, if you're interested in learning more about Lisa Clampett, her matchmaking company, or the Matchmaking Institute, which she founded in 2003, go to lisaclampett.com or matchmakinginstitute.com. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your healthy, happy relationships.